What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is article of the week number 3. The article is titled Diet-Induced Oxalate Neuropathy from Excessive Nut and Seed Consumptions. So kind of a mouthful of a title, but basically a lady smoked her kidneys by eating a bunch of nuts and a bunch of seeds. So Tom, do you want to talk about it real quick?
Yeah, so she was actually doing this to treat her IBS as prescribed by her doctor. It was called the Virgin Diet. I've never heard of this diet, and honestly, eating a bunch of nuts and seeds doesn't seem like the best way to cure your IBS. I was really surprised.
Literally the worst way to treat IBS, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of understand, like, oh, it's high in fiber, so, like, maybe. I was just thinking, like, anytime I have some almonds or anything like that, I do get a stomach ache. So I was just thinking, like, yeah, that seems like pretty bad advice.
Horrible. I mean, whatever. Like, bad advice is a dime a dozen in the nutrition world, so I guess it makes sense. But you're right. I had never heard of the Virgin Diet either.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny that they mentioned it several times in the study or the article that physicians need more nutritional training.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That kept getting repeated over and over again. But yeah, I was really surprised. Like, I've never heard of oxalosis. That was like a new term that I've heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just shows like how damaging oxalates can be. Because she wasn't even forming kidney stones. Like, they looked, they did an ultrasound, mm-hmm. and everything looked fine. But it's just the damage to the kidneys that the oxalates did just totally blew them out.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. So just for some quick stats from the study. So this was a 59-year-old woman, and she went to the doctors, and her creatinine level was 1.8. And her baseline was around 1.3, which is, that's a little elevated, because the normal values would be 0.8 to 1.2. And somebody like me or Tom or somebody with a little bit of excess muscle on their frame, they're going to have a little bit more higher baseline creatinine levels. And that's because creatinine comes from creatine, and we store creatine in our muscles. So obviously, the more muscle you have, the more creatinine you're going to produce spontaneously. So it kind of makes sense. But in this case, you know, a 59-year-old woman, I doubt she was jacked. You know what I mean? So she probably, you know, should have been probably in the 0.8 range.
Yeah, based off of everything that I was reading, it doesn't seem like she was a heavy exerciser or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really didn't really know that oxalates could be that damaging to your kidneys, other than from, like, kidney stones. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, like, amazing to show just, like, how much problems that they can cause to your glomerulus. That's, mm-hmm. like, the filtration system of your kidneys.
Yeah, because you said they did the ultrasound of this lady's kidneys. It all came back fine. Her electrolytes were fine. Urine analysis was fine. But they did an actual renal biopsy, and they showed glomerular sclerosis, which is hardening the glomeruli. Like Tom said, that's kind of like the filtering units inside our kidneys, and calcium oxalate deposition. And really, so oxalates, if you don't know, they're a class of anti-nutrients. So you can think of them almost as just stuff that harms us. You know, they don't benefit us at all. And they're really high in nuts and seeds, also things like spinach. And they bind to calcium in our blood supply, and they form these real kind of hard, sharp crystals. And you could think of like a hard, almost like a diamond-shaped crystal going through a very small tube in our kidneys, and it just kind of just rips it up and tears it up. And so this lady, went to the doctor. Creatinine was very high. It's not good. But once she actually went on a low oxalate diet, so she cut out the nuts and seeds that she was actually eating every day. And I think she was eating something like, it was like a handful. It was 6 tablespoons of chia seeds and
that's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah, it is a lot. Like if you make chia pudding, that'd be like a whole big ass bowl of chia pudding. And 5 handfuls of almonds daily. So she wasn't messing around. Like that virgin diet loves seeds and nuts. And but she took that stuff out, you know, cut out the nuts, cut out the seeds, and then her creatinine levels went back to baseline. And so the doctors were happy with that. You know, they pretty much said, like, they had recommendations at the end of the article, and one of them was, like Tom said earlier, these doctors need to be educated on education because they're just not. Because obviously, I mean, in the world of nutrition, chia seeds and almonds, they get a pass. Like, those are quote-unquote healthy fats. Those are quote-unquote plant-based. A doctor is never going to tell a patient to eat less of those foods.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of doctors are really aware of oxalates or any other anti-nutrients to go along with that. But one thing it didn't mention, and I'm also willing to bet, since she was on this special diet, I'm willing to bet she was supplementing with vitamin C. They didn't mention that, but part of the process of like metabolizing vitamin C is you also create oxalates. So that could be another thing that could have contributed to this disease as well. Mm-hmm. But they didn't mention it, but I know how popular vitamin C like is. It's one of like the most popular supplement out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's going on an extreme diet like this, I'm willing to bet she's supplementing with it.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's one of the reasons why I'm down on vitamin C at these super mega doses. You see people taking literal grams, which is a very high dose of vitamin C daily, especially with the coronavirus these days. People think it boosts their immune system. And it's not that I'm anti-vitamin C. I think, you know, we obviously need vitamin C, but we don't need 5 grams of vitamin C every hour. You know, you don't need to drink these emergency little powders every hour on the hour to stay healthy. And, there's studies on that showing that completely smokes our kidneys too, and it's through the exact same mechanisms as this study. And that's why I really wanted to bring this study up, because it's just, I guess I am anti-vegetable most of the time, but people think everything in the plant-based world gets a free pass. You know, take as much vitamin C as you want, eat all the almonds, eat all the chia seeds, but you have to be aware of anti-nutrients because they really do affect us. You know, we have a podcast on anti-nutrients. I think the biggest one I think we did was soy, because soy contains every anti-nutrient. So we talked about lectins, octolysis, phytates, things like that. So there's a whole class of anti-nutrients out there. There's a bunch of different ones. But if you want to learn more about that, check out the soy podcast. And just be aware of what you're putting in your body. If you're going to be eating high doses of nuts every day, you are exposing yourself to a lot of anti-nutrients. And that's one of the reasons why I like to keep my diets low in nuts, is because of the anti-nutrients. And there are ways around it. You can sprout things, you can soak things, and it lowers anti-nutrients. But still, that's a process that most people will not do simply because it's time consuming. And, you know, who has the time to do anything these days, right? So I understand. But just...
And they probably don't. Most people probably aren't even aware of, like, the damage that's caused by these anti-nutrients. They probably never heard of soaking your nuts or activating your nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably something like most people have never even heard of. The doctor probably didn't even tell this patient to do that.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. Exactly. Very true. So, and that's kind of the, Tom even says it in his intro, like, ancestral knowledge, like, that stuff we used to do. Like, back in the day, it's not like we always ate nuts raw. Like, we understood, our ancestors, our great-great-grandparents knew to soak and sprout things that needed to be soaked and sprout. You know, they needed, you could think of like a form of processing before we had the machinery these days to process foods. But we just don't do it these days because people kind of lost that knowledge within the last, I'd say, like 100 years, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And especially when it comes to like seeds, that's something I'm really, the more and more I'm learning about them, the less of a fan I am of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like that's how plants reproduce. So they're going to protect their seeds more than any other part of the plant. So those things are packed full of anti-nutrients. Because
mm-hmm.
if you chew up their seed, then they can't reproduce. So they have to protect those more than any other part of the plant. So yeah, that's why they're loaded with anti-nutrients. I mean, even if you are going to take the time to soak them, sprout them, do all those things, like I still don't think they're worth it because they only provide you a little bit of nutrition, something that you could easily get from like a steak or something along those lines, or some organ meats, something along those lines, bone broth, anything would be a much better choice.
Oh yeah. Oh God. Yeah. You're speaking to the choir. Like I'm right there with you. Yeah. 1,000%. Yeah. I mean, that's music to my ears. Yeah. So, but yeah, so that's Article of the Week this week. Hope you guys liked it. I recommend you check it out. It's a pretty good article. I actually really did like it. So you can find it on the website. So TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. Just go to the post, Article of the Week number 3. It'll have a little brief description, and then you can click the link and go read it yourself. So yeah, you can check that out. Did you have anything else to say, or you feel good about it?
Yeah, I feel good about it. I mean, it is a really short article. It is a little
wordy,
science heavy, mm-hmm. You know, so you might have to look up a couple words. But it's really short, so it's not like it's going to take you 2 hours to read. You know, it's a, I don't know, like a 5-10 minute read. So it's definitely worth checking out.
Worth checking out, yeah. So yeah, that's the podcast. Thank you for listening this week. Next week will be a normal full podcast length episode. We're going to be talking about healthy alternatives to baby formula. So if that interests you, check that out. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.